You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Monday afternoon, so it's time for Shapiro World with David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities, sometimes in Johannesburg, sometimes in Boston, today in New York. You sent out a couple of tweets over the weekend, David, going to the Museum of Modern Art and other places, and the weather's picking up and everything. Made me very jealous, actually.
Yeah, it's... New York came alive this weekend. The weather's been very iffy up to now, but it's been warm and balmy, and they start the summer festival. So I'm very fortunate. I'm across the road from the Lincoln Center, and they transform all the piazzas or the outdoor areas into concerts. And I went to what was called a silent disco. They give you headphones. And you go in for free, and so you hear the music through your headphones, and people just dance.
Yeah, people dance. I mean, I've seen one of these things from afar and watched these people where there's no music, and you see them walking around sort of, I don't know, twitching zombies. Please tell me you didn't dance.
No, I didn't dance, but I enjoyed watching people, because what fascinates me about young people, and we saw this, I know my granddaughter is a big Taylor Swift fan, and she went to the concert, and they go to these concerts and they sing the words, you know, they know the words by heart.
Yeah.
And here these young girls, and they were mainly young girls, I would say in their late teens and early 20s, and mimicking the words and enjoying themselves. So the other thing is, of course, it's been Pride Month, and yesterday was a Pride parade in New York City,
okay,
which is a spectacle and a half from all angles, no matter where you sit in this whole debate. I mean, colorful and very hysterical, and brought the whole of New York City to a standstill because
but it was a happy occasion, was closed. Right? It was a happy
and how. No, it's the one thing that differentiates South Africa from New York, you know, I'm saying, is the absolute peaceful, you know, all these events are peaceful. You don't have bummers on the side, or you don't fear being robbed or anything like that. Although I'm sure, you know, in any big city, there's going to be some petty thievery and that. But you feel 100% safe. You don't feel intimidated in any way at all. You feel that way. You know what I'm talking about, living in Europe, and that, you know, people just walk around. We never lock our doors here, and you know, you never people walk around with their cell phones in their back pockets and so on. And there are many, many tourists. And I think it's something that takes South Africans a long time to get over, to understand that, you know, things are peaceful here.
Okay,
even though New York City is always cited as being, oh, you know, the crime's up. Oh, rubbish.
That was in the 70s. It was a no-go area.
Of course, you get crime in any big city where there are millions of people. But, I mean, the level of crime is so small relative to, you know, to South Africa.
Wasn't it Giuliani that sorted it out? I mean, he's horrible now because he's gone a bit loopy and he's a Trumpster. But he sorted out the crime, didn't he? I think.
He did. You know, if you go to Times Square, 42nd Street and Broadway, and that's a huge area. It used to be all the what do you call it, you know, it was very, very seedy, that's the best way of putting it. You had all nightclubs there and drug dealing. Now it's like Disneyland. it's a lot of people gather really in the middle of the huge people, but you don't feel in any way, there's a big police presence. But although there are thousands of people, and it's become a major attraction because of the lights, you know, the Las Vegas-type lights and lighting up and that. But it's very clean at the moment. The only thing I always say that if you go there now, you know, it doesn't smell of pee anymore. Now it smells of weed. You cannot believe it. You know, you walk past and you're just absolutely knocked out by the smell of weed.
Well, has it been legitimized in the New York
State?
Yes, has it?
Yeah, you can walk down. Nah, people sit on the street. I don't know if it's legitimate, but they certainly smoke it all over the place. And I mean, you can't hide that smell.
No, you can't.
It's not like some countries. Yes, you can smoke it within the confines of your own home, but yeah, no, it's all over the streets, especially Central Park on the outskirts. You know, people sit on the outskirts there smoking this stuff.
It always surprised me in the Netherlands when I first came here. I knew it's illegal, etc., and it's a culture. And whether you agree with it or not, or whether you think it leads to harder drugs, anyway, people have absorbed it into their life. And it would be a Monday morning, and you'd be walking down the street, and normal people in suits, people not in suits, but going about their daily business a Monday morning or something, and you get this great big waft of the smell. And I think, who's that? Is that the guy in the suit over there? Is that the guy on the delivery bike over there? Whatever it is. I never know. But anyway, it's an interesting phenomenon, which we cannot debate at the moment, David, because we have to talk about markets. And we have to talk about the 36 hours of madness between Prigozhin and Putin. Who's come out best, worst, and what are the implications? Three very, very deep questions there for you.
Well, just out of pure interest, you know, my daughter-in-law, who's with us at the moment, was born in Russia.
Yes.
And still has her babushka, her granny is there. And, you know, she follows the news very, very closely. She's very anti-Putin and frustrated with what's happening because she still has a lot of relations in Ukraine. And she says they didn't even broadcast it.
No.
You know, there was absolutely nothing in the news in Russia. So the normal news channels. But I think, you know, it's a very difficult situation to understand, but I think I'm talking about the consequences, what happens from here. But there's no doubt that he's been weakened. You know, there's absolutely no doubt that Putin, this is a chink in his armor. And I think if you go back, Lindsay, think about the fall of communism. You know, it started like this, even the fall of apartheid. You see one little incident like this happening, and then all of a sudden it happens very fast. And I wouldn't be surprised if things start to, you know, accelerate from here against him. It's shown that he perhaps hasn't got the kind of support that he might think he has. I don't say he's weak, but he might not be as strong as he thinks he is, or his position is strong. And markets have been kind of indifferent, I think, slightly, you know, not sure how to interpret it. But I think, you know, from our point of view, watching him, I think this is it's a situation that I can't see improving.
No, it's not going to improve, certainly not for Putin anyway. And I was watching a really good BBC Moscow correspondent, and he just said, you know, dictators don't just give up power like this. They go out with a fight. So it's not as if he's going to roll over and someone else is going to come in. And goodness me, if there's a power vacuum in Russia, then they've got, well, depending who you believe, between 4,000 and 6,000 nuclear warheads at the push of a button. I mean, at the moment, it's almost better to have Putin there, because if some nut job comes in from Chechnya or somewhere like that to take over, because it will be up for grabs again, just like it was when the Berlin Wall fell and people like, well, all the oligarchs made their money by stripping state assets for their own personal gain. The same thing could happen again.
I think he's probably stripped them already. I think the other big story is that Prigozhin is he's dead meat. You know,
where's he gone?
Wherever he is, I don't know. I don't know where he can grow his hair, but he's got to have to grow a beard and put a wig on or something. Because
they've given him amnesty.
There's no doubt that there's a contract for his assassination.
Without a doubt, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
Because again, the BBC said there has been no official rescinding of the order that went out on Saturday to say that he is officially under arrest because of this aborted mutiny. Mm. And he's gone to Belarusia. And Lukashenko is such a puppet of Putin's that I would imagine if he does go there, one day he's going to get a knock on the door and then you'll never hear from him again. He'll be knocked off, don't you think?
Yeah, you won't hear a thing. You know, that's so I've been surprised with markets. I'm trying to work out, you know, US markets are better, European markets are better. I don't know whether it's got anything to do with the Russian situation. I think they might be just saying, okay, look, we don't know where it's going. We don't know whether it's good or bad. Just hold back. I've been watching commodity prices. I would have thought the oil price has gone a little firmer, mainly on concerns about supply. I don't know whether it has gone firmer or not. My prices might be a little slow, but I've got Brent at 74 and WTI 69.70, which is no big move.
Exactly. It did spike to 77 Brent crude. It's now 74.17. And West Texas is, as you quite rightly say, well below 70, $69.20 at the moment, up on the day. But yeah.
And Lindsay, even gold, you know, I don't know, gold's picked up a little, but it's still in their weak territory in the low 1900s. Yeah.
$3 up. That's nothing. Yeah, so people not taking it seriously. But I do think in the future, this is just the first thing. And as I use this analogy a lot, you know, if you're going to knock off a vending machine or a Coke machine or something, if you're a petty criminal, you can't just push it over. You have to rock it from side to side and side to side. And momentum gathers and then suddenly it falls over. That, I think, is what's going to happen in Russia. It's the vending machine factor. And I do think that this is the beginning of the end for Putin. Yeah. And I just hope that there's some sort of succession and the people that do knock him over have a plan, because if they don't, then there's chaos. Then markets really get stuffed. David, I was looking at a share called Steinhoff today, 5 cents now. It's going to be delisted,
isn't it? That's a death knell. Yeah, we should have knocked this off 5 years ago. And all it's done is, you know, the momentous effort to keep this thing going. As I've said many times, it's only benefited the lawyers and the accountants and everybody who's been involved in a professional way.
I saw your tweet. Yeah, it was good.
You know what? When you get this kind of fraud in a company, it's very difficult for any company on that to pick up again. And, you know, you can see it in smaller ways in companies like EOH. And I don't take anything away from Stephen Funcola at all, who's tried and tried and tried. But the damage that it did, it's so difficult to overcome that. We've seen it in Tongaat, you know, which is fighting for survival now. And that's a serious one because so many workers are involved. It's off the market. Companies like Nampak was not fraud. It's just been bad management. It's very hard for these businesses to pick up again. And I prefer to move on and say, look, there's so many better companies. Why do you want to look at this? But Steinhoff has just been a tragic story.
Horrible.
And I know that the arrest is finally out for Marcus Juster, but from a South African point of view, it just goes on and on and on. And they should just, you know, just pull the plug finally.
Yeah, they should.
I don't know if there's anything underneath there. I know they've still got Pepco, but if you like Pepco, buy Pepco, you know. You don't have to try to find a cheap way in. But once again, so many people who've been buying this year all on, you know, on the way down have got their fingers burnt. There's so many clever people out there who are trying to make money. Oh, these assets are cheap. Yeah, they are cheap, and they're going to get cheaper. You know. So.
Yeah, and when it's delisted, then you've got to negotiate with a whole new different set, a whole new different set of regulations and a whole new set of people. So yeah, watch out for that.
Yeah, it's too much PT. Yeah.
It's the 26th of June, so at the end of this week, from a trading perspective, let me see. When is July?
On Saturday.
Oh, okay. So what we've got here is end of the week, end of the month, end of the quarter, end of the half year. Has it been dramatic? I don't know. I can't look back and say, goodness me, look what happened there and the market dipped or the market
It has been dramatic.
Has it?
No, it's been very dramatic. I'll tell you where the drama came.
Where?
And the dramas come from, if you go back to the beginning of the year and you look at what the world was saying, and I've got to put the world in meaning, if you go and look what all the big names in business were saying, the big houses in New York or the big houses in Europe were saying, well, this is going to be a very difficult first half of the year.
Yeah.
You know, the inflation's tightening, corporate earnings are going to slow down, we're going into a recession. That was the message. The S&P started in January around about 38, if I'm not mistaken. And the views were that this could easily go down to 32. At best, it might go to 38, 39. And we're at 43.5 and probably going to end better. I see it's up to date. So that was, that caught everybody by surprise. No one expected the S&P to be as strong as it is and European markets. Now, what's interesting, Lindsay, we got the same message again from that we got in January. Okay. Central banks are not happy with inflation. They're going to keep raising rates. This is going to impact the same, exactly the same message coming out. Brace yourself for another difficult second half. I said, well, that's okay. You know, as long as it steadies and doesn't collapse. So it's quite interesting to see what people are saying about what's going to happen. But the drama came from one area, and that was artificial intelligence and the massive gain that we saw in tech companies. You know, that if anything, defined the first 6 months.
You can correct me, and you can look at your graph and work out percentages. I think I'm right in saying that this will be likely the best ever first 6 months of the year for the NASDAQ. I don't know. I saw something. Okay. But it's the NASDAQ has had a terrific time of it.
Yeah. And that's come from particularly generative AI and the story around that. Led by NVIDIA, but supported by companies like Microsoft and Amazon and companies like that. So I think it's been quite phenomenal what that has brought. Of course, the cynics are out there again, or skeptics, worried, saying, oh, well, this is not going to last. But the more I read about it, the more you find people supporting it and saying this is life-changing, this is business-changing. And I like to read these stories, and I'm saying, well, I'm not ready to get out now. You know what I mean? I'm not. I like to play. I like to play markets on a, when I say day-to-day basis, I don't drive on a GPS. I look out the front window of the motor car, and I see what's in the road ahead, and and so on. So you know what I mean? I'm not. I don't want to say yes and no, but I think by not listening, and in my own personal capacity, and also for clients, by just being a little cautious about what people said at the beginning of the year, we've had a very strong first half.
Yes.
Strong to the point where, when I say strong to the point where you can say, okay, I've done well out of NVIDIA. NVIDIA's up 192% since the beginning of the year. Mm. even if it comes down 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%, it's still better than having been in bonds. So I know that's a simplistic way of looking at it. But if I look at NVIDIA, that's 190% up. Companies like Amazon's up 56%, Alphabet 38%. So I think, having stuck with those favorites, it's okay, I'm doing okay. I'm just going to ride the wave. I don't need to do anything. Having banked that, is it going to give up all those gains? Unlikely. So I'm happy to ride out the second half of the year in the same way.
Very good. Now, David, one thing that I feel is quite different when it comes to Jerome Powell, the chair of the US Federal Reserve, is that when we had the CPI data from the United States taking inflation at the retail level down to 4%, and when they kept interest rates unchanged for the first time in ages at 5 to 5.25% target range, everyone thought, okay, that's it. They'll flatten out in the next quarter or so, and then maybe it'll come down. And so everyone was very sanguine about it. And then suddenly Jerome Powell, I think, was talking to, testifying to Congress or doing one of his monthly tasks, whatever. And he said, no, it's not over yet. We're really battling to get it down to 2%, and there will be interest rate rises. And the market got spooked, but just for one day. It was down, I think, a couple of days, it was down around about 1.5%. And when I say it, the S&P 500. But the point about that is, it's in the market now. We know that there's going to be another 25 basis points and maybe another 25. Yes. It's not as if it's going to suddenly be a surprise like the Bank of England with their 0.5% raise last week. So the market has been communicated to, and they understand that. The market likes that.
I think so. But it's the market's a lot more sanguine about what's happening than a lot of the so-called commentators or strategists or economists and so on who still remain very negative. I was listening to UBS, and they've come out with the second half, and their equity exposure is below 50%. I hope I'm not misquoting them. But that's what I picked up, and go for all kinds of bonds. I said, and that's typical Swiss views. Typical Swiss views are very conservative and very, they're always like that simply because it's a socialist kind of, Europe is very socialist. You get a lot of benefits coming from the state, so you don't really have to take any kind of risk. But from my point of view, living in South Africa, I have to take risks because I have to grow my portfolios and I have to grow my earnings faster than the rand depreciates. I'm going to stress that. You know, that's the challenge that we have. We can't be complacent about where we are. You know, if you live in a socialist country or a country where you get very strong social benefits, you haven't got the same pressure. But Lindsay, from our point of view, and it's been the one thing that struck me now, looking at where the rand is in the 1850s, 1860s, and realizing what it cost me just to have a cup of coffee in New York and something, I said, you know what, I've got to work a lot harder. You know what I mean? I can't sit back and relax. I'm translating this into imports. Yeah. You know, what it would mean for me when I replace my cell phone or mobile phone, my computer, all the things that are not made in South Africa, you realize, hold on, we've got to work harder and smarter because this is just going to swamp us.
Okay. Now, David, there's no football, and you and I have bemoaned the fact that there's no football, so we can't talk about and the transfer window is coming up, but there's not many rumours out there of any really big transfers and movement from one club to the other. So what are you going to do now? You're going to go to concerts, you're going to go on LGBTQ+ marches, you're going to go to art galleries, you're going to go to museums,
I've done all of that.
And generally you're just going to whoop it up and be a man of leisure for a couple of weeks.
I sit on the couch sometimes when I got the free time and I look at the TV and there must be 5,000 channels that I can choose from and I can't find one to watch. Mm-hmm. You know, you end up watching replays of Cheers or some of the Friends or something like that. You know, that's how bored you are. And I love the Yankees. I love being at the Yankees game, Yankees Red Sox game, and that. But I can't watch baseball on TV, you know. And then it's women's basketball or something. I'm saying, women's college basketball or something. So now I'm not watching this.
Okay, well, have you got Apple? Have you got
coming,
Apple?
But I'm not a tennis fan.
I don't like tennis.
Tennis to me is also like watching paint. You know, I know it's exciting. These are highly talented players, but I get very bored watching tennis.
Me too. You and me both. Tell me something. Have you got Apple TV where you are?
I think I do, yeah.
Okay. Have you watched Ted Lasso?
I have, but I've watched the first two. And I just started to watch number three. Why are you recommending it?
Yeah, it's just it gives you a little bit of football. I mean, I think it's one of the best series I've seen in the last couple of years. I love it. Mm. And I was just saying, if you need a little bit of a football input, then Ted Lasso is the one for you because it's got everything.
The one thing I can buy here is Richmond FC memorabilia. You can buy a Ted Lasso sweater, you know, I mean AFC Richmond. I can buy tops there. You can get all the kinds of mugs and everything around here. Yeah. So, I'm going to watch. I watched the first two episodes and I know I've still got a few to go, but my whole family here loved it. So
good. Yeah.
That's why I haven't been able to watch it. They've all watched it. So I've got to wait for them to go.
Yeah. That's not good because you go to bed at 7:30. So.
Not with two young kids here. Oi. They got more energy than you can imagine. Yeah.
And the other thing you must watch is the Diego Maradona documentary, which is a couple of years old. But if you want to know about football and how brilliant he was and how passionate the Napoli fans are and the rivalry between the north and the south of Italy, this is a brilliant football documentary. It's just called Maradona. Try and find it if you can. David?
I've got to end on a funny note.
Go on then.
My two little boys here, Archie and Elijah, who live in Australia, they are mad Arsenal boys. But they love football. They love football. They play it nonstop. Lindsay, I learned something. And it's a lesson to anybody who's listening there. I looked at these two little kids. They're 9 and 6 playing yesterday against much older boys. And they gave them stick. And I realized why. They play together. Now, when you play a brother, you're never passive. You know what I mean? You go for him. If you're playing soccer against your brother, You're not going to let him pass you. You will stick that foot out and make sure that he trips, or you will dig him. And it's the best form of developing not aggression, but you know, the motivation.
Yeah.
Get stuck in. And I looked at them together. Yeah, I looked at them and I said, "Why is this happening?" And the reason it happens is when they together on the lawn playing, that's how they play. Huh. You know, they never give up. And I thought, that's, you know, it's such a difference to poor little boys who are brought up with a sister. Never switch your sister into a brother. You know what I mean? If you want to be a good footballer. And they've been writing this, their football facts. They call it football facts.
Yes.
And they love to write. Both of them are very creative. And little Elijah, who's 6, he wrote, "Harry Kane was an Arsenal fan and wanted to join Arsenal, but he was too fat, and that's why he went to Spurs."
And he's 6, right?
He's 6, yeah.
But tell me something. Archie isn't a very English name. It was my father's name.
Yes.
Elijah is a Jewish name. Now, what happens? Is he part of a strict Jewish family? Or
No.
Okay, so if he ever gets to get a chance to go professional, he's not going to have to take Saturdays off.
No. That's the last thing on their minds.
Okay, good. All right, David, thank you very much for your insight.
Remember that. Harry Kane was too fat to join Arsenal.
I shall mention it to Piers Morgan. David, thank you very much. David Shapiro is from Saturn Securities, speaking to us from New York City, and that was Shapiro World. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.